Where I am today, it's going to be a little over 100 degrees in the heat index. It's clear sky is what I call one of those summer sunburn Saturdays. Play outside, get burnt. But it's a beautiful summer day. And when we look into the book of Revelations chapter 16, it couldn't be any more dramatically different than what I'm experiencing today. What they experience is way beyond what I can imagine as a bad day. August 7th, 2022 is what I wrote this message for. The seventh bowl is the title, and Revelation 16, 17 to 21 is our text. My outline: the seventh angel, number two, a loud voice from the throne, number three, the cup of God's terrible anger. I took my introduction from a book I'm reading entitled The Return of the King. Quote, "We are now at the seventh bowl. This brings the end of the judgments to an end. Like other cycles, this one ends with the second coming of Christ. The symbols of the second coming here are not as obvious as in some other scriptures. We can remember that in Revelation 15:1 has already shown us the scene in God's grand drama where the end of the wrath of God would come here with the seventh bowl. The removal of the islands and the mountains, when we read here in 16:20, corresponds with the final shaking of the earth in 16:14, and then later we'll see it in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The fall of Babylon is immediately followed by the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelations 19, 1-10. And it's not very long. Next month we'll get into the good part of Revelations and leave all the judgment destruction behind and spend time with the marriage supper of the Lamb and the millennium. The true bride of Christ is always, the true bride of Christ is away from these judgments, awaiting the manifestation of her Lord. In 2 weeks, we'll look into Revelation 17, 14 to 17. The fall of Babylon is immediately associated with the final battle, which takes place at the second coming of Christ in Revelations 19, 11 to 20. This passage, Revelation 16, 16, fits into a pattern. By grouping together an earthquake, overturning of the mountains, and the hail, just like was prophesied in Ezekiel 38, verses 19 to 23. Ezekiel described the divine plagues or judgments accompanying this battle. Descriptions of other aspects of the battle is delayed until we get to Revelations 19. This is in keeping with the dramatic plan of Revelation. God keeps building the anticipation as we go. So, Revelation 16, 17 to 21 goes like this. The seventh angel poured out his bowl on the air. Out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne. It said, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings of thunder, and powerful earthquake. There has never been an earthquake as terrible as this since man lived on earth. The great city split into three parts. The cities of the nations crumbled and fell. God remembered Babylon the Great. He gave her the cup filled with the wine of his terrible anger. Every island ran away. The mountains could not be found. Large hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell from the sky. The hail crushed people. They spoke evil things against God because of the plagues and now the hail that was so terrible. That's the end of our scripture for today. So my outline starts with number one, the seventh angel. This is the last angel in the last event of judgment. And we've been looking at hints of that for several chapters now. A on your outline, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Why do you think the air is this last judgment? We've looked at the land, right? We've looked at the sea. Now we're looking at the air. Why that? Well, the NIV Reader's versions of Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 go like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's the end. So in Ephesians, when Paul is writing to them and helping them understand the conflict they're in with spiritual warfare, he's saying there is a prince of power of the air and a powerful one. And I think that's why this is poured out on the air, to defeat that prince and power that had rulership over the air for so long. Be on your outline. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings of thunder, and a powerful earthquake. The Lord is giving his creation a really good shaking here. There has never been an earthquake as terrible since man lived on the earth. So, two on your outline, a loud voice from the throne. How do you hear this loud voice from the throne? How do you hear that? It says, A on your outline, it is done. And done is your outline. So do you hear that as a normal speaking tone coming out of the temple? Or do you see it and hear it as a loud, loud command? I tend to look at it that way. God has been holding back, waiting to do this, and now he proclaims it is done very loud. This bowl will complete God's wrath. Except for the final judgment on the rebellion at the end of the millennium. This white throne judgment is in Revelation 20:7-10. And this immediately precedes the second coming of Christ. So with the end of this destruction, we'll move into things being set up for the millennium kingdom, 1,000 years where we'll live with him. At the end of that, Jesus will set up his judgment seat, which when we looked earlier in Revelations, I think he might be sitting on a cloud when he does it. But each one of us will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and have a conversation about our life, what we did, what we didn't do, what we thought. And we will have to answer to the king for those things. Will you be ready for that? This bowl will bring on stage the scene of God's grand drama, of the worst calamity in history of the world. The voice from the temple in heaven is undoubtedly that of God himself. Everywhere I read, people agreed that this is the voice of God speaking this command. It is done is best translated, it has been and will remain done. And that's in John. The Gospel of John, chapter 19:30. God will punctuate the completion of his wrath with a devastating earthquake, the most powerful in all Earth's history. Be on your outline. Jerusalem is split into three parts. Jerusalem is split into three parts, and Jerusalem is your blank. Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 8, prophesied that Jerusalem will be split into these three parts. And it's not as a judgment, but as an improvement. Think about that. Jerusalem is divided into three parts, separated from each other. But it's not on a judgment basis, it's on an improvement basis. They're making room for us. The additional water supply that was prophesied in Zechariah 14:8 and the topographical changes will prepare the city for its central place in the millennial kingdom. So Jerusalem is the only city that spared the judgment and will be made more beautiful because of the repentance of the people that live there. The cities of the nation have all crumbled and fell, so there's no city buildings anywhere. God's purpose is very different for the rest of the world's cities. They're destroyed. See on your outline, God remembered Babylon the Great. He gave her the cup filled with the wine of his terrible anger. This great city symbolizes the apostate church or those professing Christendom that are not born again into God's Spirit. Babylon was the name of both a city and an immoral empire. It was the world center for idol worship. The Antichrist had his capital city there. Just by way of sidebar note, wasn't that many years ago when we militarily rolled into Babylon, and there was this monstrous statue of the man in power. Huge. Huge statue that you had to look at and worship. Yeah. Tore it down. Actually, the people that lived there tore it down. Babylon ransacked Jerusalem and carried the people of Judah into captivity in 2 Kings 24 and in 2 Chronicles 36. As we're reading through the Bible chronologically, this week we stopped at chapter 2 of 2 Kings 23, which the next verse, 24, would have been what we're reading about. And we read 2 Chronicles, and we ended at chapter 35, and chapter 36 is what we're talking about here of these prophesied events with Jerusalem and Babylon. Just as Babylon was the Jews' worst enemy, the Roman Empire was the worst enemy of the early Christians. John, who probably did not dare speak against Rome openly, applied the name of Babylon to his enemy of God's people, Rome, and by extension, to all God's enemies of all times. So, John's speaking to our times as well as his time. So, we looked at the seventh angel, loud voice from the throne. Number three, the cup of God's terrible anger. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. That's A in your outline. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. So the three blanks are island and mountain. This is only two. This powerful earthquake will radically alter all the world's topography, preparing it for the coming of the millennial kingdom. So there is only one continent of land now, and it's only a third of what there used to be, and it's all flat. It's all like southern Illinois, where it looks like somebody used a laser, made it as flat as a pool tabletop, except for the Mount of Jerusalem in the middle. So Jerusalem's raised up on this mount, and from the whole continent, you can see that city. What are the largest hailstones you have ever experienced? Have you ever been out in a hailstorm and experienced them? What was it like? one fall day, Julie and I were on a motorcycle ride, and we were going across this mesa, which is a large flat piece of land on top of a mountain. And as far as you can see, it's flat. You wouldn't know that if you went to the edge of it, you'd drop off from where we were. But we had just left the hot sulfur springs in Colorado, and we're on our way to where we were going to spend the night. And in the middle of this mesa, where there is no towns, and there is no way to get off of the Blacktop Highway, maybe you've been around here and seen when they put blacktop on the roads, it makes a nasty drop-off. And we're in the middle of there, and in my headphone, I told Julie, I said, yeah, you see that big black thing over there coming this way? That's going to be a really bad thing when it gets here. And she says, well, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're just going to keep going. And when it came, it started with hail the size of your little finger, grew to the size of your index finger, and it was just beating us up. And Julie's yelling in my headphones, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I said, yeah, I'm working on it. We had on warm clothes and gloves and helmets. So, you know, we had hurt, but it didn't really hurt us. Had to ride a motorcycle across a ice-ridden land. But we made it. That story is one that Julie loved to tell because of the dramatics of it. But being out in a hailstorm like that hurts. And if I wouldn't have had a helmet on and leather jacket and gloves, it would have hurt really bad. But the hailstones that these guys get are huge. Be on your outline. Huge hailstorms, about 100 pounds each, fell from the sky. Huge hailstorms, about 100 pounds each, fell from the sky. Huge hailstorms are your blank. The hail crushed people. Note, there are no buildings left to hide in. They're all destroyed. There's only Jerusalem that's left. These huge hailstones indicate an unparalleled atmospheric change. God is cleaning out the air. The massive chunks of ice will cause unimaginable devastation and death. The sky is literally falling. The sky is literally falling on you. This seems to me to be part of the Battle of Armageddon. When I look at this hailstorm, that's the way I see it. Hailstones fall from the air, each of them weighing about 100 pounds. So this is how I see it. It seems like maybe a prophecy of maybe airplanes dropping 100-pound bombs. Seems what it might be. Note that I didn't read anyone else that had this idea. It's just an idea I have. So, you know, put it into your mind like that. It's just one of my ideas. But in World War II, when the Marines were going to land on an island in the Pacific, Navy ships and Navy and Air Force planes would soften the island with days of 24-hour bombardment. They just literally blew it up. In Vietnam War, we would use helicopters to mark and destroy some of the target, and then Air Force jets and Navy jets would come in and bomb what was left of the target. And when B-52 bombers, they make a big, big mess when they bomb on it. In my war illustrations, our enemies had dug underground sanctuaries and came out of them after the bombardment. The Japanese had prepared places in the mountains so that they were safe. And the Viet Cong loved to live in their tunnels underground. So they would just hide under there until all the bad stuff happened, and they would come out. And I think that's what happens in the Battle of Armageddon. That they hide underground or in caves. The million-man cavalry that fights against Christ and his enemy may do the same thing. They may hide underground so that when the hailstones are done, they can gather for the final battle. On your outline, see, the people spoke evil things against God because the plague of hail was so terrible. So it seems clear to me that these people know there's a God. You know, if they spoke evil against the things gods are doing in this plague, they obviously know it's coming from God. So here's my conclusion. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 will elaborate on Babylon. It's called the Great Whore, which sits on many waters. Babylon is also called the Mother of Harlots, the abominations of the earth. It was said that she was drunk with the blood of the wine of the saints and martyrs. And we saw recently how God gave them blood to drink when their water turned to blood. Babylon appears as religious, but it's actually contrasted with the true saints of God as a filthy woman. The true church of Christ is not Babylon, but the bride of Christ. One must be cautious in our day not to be distracted by any system, any city, or any place. Don't get distracted by that. Stay faithful wherever you are, whenever you're there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look at this massive devastation you're going to do, humbly we fall before you in prayer. We know that you're a just and righteous God. And we know what you're going to do in Revelation. And we live in a sinful nation. Sir, humbly we repent, pray, and seek forgiveness for our country. Seek your spirit to descend on those who are lost, who know you are there, just like these people in Revelation, but refuse to turn to you. Would you please soften your hearts because of the love Jesus showed to us and show it to them? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Crying alone, but there's so many crying like you. days makers, too scared to open her heart to someone. Close the door and push away the pain. Once again, she can't help herself. No, she can't help herself. Help herself.